This has been a long time coming. We've been talking about a podcast.
Every day, every afternoon, every morning, there's a new story being told or a story untold.
Welcome to the Scratch Your Niche podcast.
Well, Deneen, it's so awesome to have you here. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to just be on the podcast. It's your first time doing it, isn't it?
It is.
And are you excited or what?
I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm all those things.
But you're no stranger to microphones. You're a singer. You're a performer.
Yes.
Yeah, specifically, you love gospel music and choir directing and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your passions and interests, and then we'll dive into some of your story.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm privileged to run Progressive Leadership Group, and what we do is we really focus on organizations that are facing some kind of disruption. So they're growing, they're changing, and what we're there to do, our tagline is we align leadership and culture in growing organizations.
Love it.
So it really all starts with the why of what an organization is doing. Like, what are they passionate about? Who are they there to serve? And their mission and their values. We start there, and then we start to figure out, okay, with the growth that you're experiencing, with the change, what kind of leadership team do you need? Even functionally, what kind of roles do you need?
Right.
Who do those leaders need to look like, be like? How do we get them working together well? And then let's get really clear about your mission, vision, and values, and how to make sure that we don't lose sight of those and we align those with your growth strategy.
Oh my goodness, you are speaking my language, something I am so passionate about.
That's awesome.
I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, your company, Progressive Leadership Group, tell us how that began. When did that spark in you? When did you start it?
I started it March 1st of this year is my 7-year anniversary being in
excellent.
Business.
Congrats.
So super excited about that. And I come from a long storied career in human resources.
Is that right?
So yeah. So I was an HR professional for the better part of about 18 years. And in all of that time, I was I had a lot of different responsibilities. And I, of course, climbed the layers of HR professionalism. But I was always focused on the leader, the manager. How do we develop the right training for them, right? How do we ensure that they are coached and developed and that they know how to coach and develop their teams? And so even in all the other duties that I had on my hat, that was one of the biggest things. And then
you were in charge of that as an HR professional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The leadership development, development of each person's career. And
absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely. Cool. And so at the end of the day, I ended up in my last role. I worked with a company that was a smaller company, but they were facing pretty rapid growth. They were a payment processor doing kind of more complex payment agreements and arrangements. And I was the director of human resources there, VP, smaller company, but that was my first opportunity to work with a senior management team because I reported to the CEO.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And so it was her kind of inspiration, and I watched her fast growing company and her dedication to staying aligned with the mission and the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my opportunity to say, hey, I can figure out and work alongside her to support kind of this model of, you know, making sure all the people practices align with the mission and the vision, taking a look to see what she needed with her leadership team and all of those pieces. So I did that for about 3.5 years. And by this time, like I said, I'm 18 years into HR. And I'm like, you know, I want to take this model and deepen this and do this as a consultant and take this to CEOs, other CEOs that are facing the same, you know, struggle.
Wow.
How do I scale leadership with my company as it's growing?
Now, how large is your company?
It's just me and some subcontracting support.
No kidding.
At this time, yeah.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
And you found it the best way for you to scale is through the subcontracting work.
Is through the subcontracting model.
How cool.
So I have others that have come in, and you talk about, I know we'll eventually probably chat a little bit about some of the challenges I'm facing maybe in my world.
Oh, I'd love to, yes.
And some of it is scalability right now for me, so.
Wow. So you were able to kind of, you know, cut your teeth in that role mm-hmm. on some of that consulting stuff. Had you done consulting stuff before that or executive leadership coaching or anything?
No, it just grew out of my world in HR. Because I was not the typical HR person. What people think of HR.
Right. Well, no, and your personality, I mean, is explosive. I mean, I'm telling you, yeah.
You're
in the right lane right now, for
strategic,
sure.
Strategic. How do we... Human resources is strategic. Leadership is strategic. Leadership is HR, believe it or not, in the best organizations.
It's resourcing humans. I mean, it's growing them. I love the saying, you know, we grow people and people grow the business. And that's what we think a lot about. And I think that's so often neglected in various businesses. We're just trying to grow the bottom line or grow, you know, this thing or that thing. But we don't realize we're all in the people business.
We're all in the people business.
Our job is to grow people, and people will grow the business for us. You know, and I love how passionate you are. I share the same affinity about mission, vision, values, about guiding principles.
At your website and I was blown away.
Did you pass the test?
I would love it. If this is integrated in everything, you've hit it.
Well, and you talk a lot about alignment, and I'm going like, you know, how would I know who to hire if we don't have this on paper and on purpose? How would I know even what locations we should pop up at or what products we should sell or you know what I'm saying? Where to put people? Where do we need people?
If
we don't have this guiding principle document in place, we'd be lost without it. In fact, let's just go straight to the end of what happens if you don't have guiding principles.
Yeah.
You burn out.
Absolutely.
You're prone to burnout. You're prone to you know, failing as a company.
Absolutely.
If you don't
right.
have clarity of what it is that you've set out to do. So,
well, and you've lied. You've lied to your customer and you've lied to your internal folks that are counting on that. So that's why another thing I'm really passionate about is like taking what you have on paper and really turning it into practice. Like, how does everybody we hire go through a process where they are answering the questions about how they ascribe and how they've demonstrated these values in the past? Right?
Wow.
It's all of that piece. How are we building, you know, this is the other side of where the HR in me sort of pops in, where how are we making sure that our performance management process is looking at and rewarding and recognizing and working through whether somebody's actually demonstrating and performing these values and performing to the mission.
Yeah, and if we have nothing that we're aiming at on with clarity, then it's like nobody knows if they're winning or not.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Man.
And your strategy has to align with that mission.
Yeah.
So you can't say, oh, we're growing really fast. We want to make sure that we double in revenue in 5 years, and we're going to do it this way and this way and this way. But maybe what we're getting ready to do isn't in alignment with who we say we are. So we've got to make sure that there's that alignment there.
Oh, I love that. I love that you say, literally, you're lying if you don't.
You're lying.
Yeah. It's it makes your world so difficult. You know, if you don't have it there.
Absolutely.
So your niche, can you describe that? Like you've carved out a niche in this consulting world. Talk to us about that. What would you?
Yeah, I would say that in that whole vein of aligning culture and leadership in growing organizations, it's a couple things. So I feel my niche is defining and designing leadership structure. So Mr. Ms. CEO, who do you need on your team? Who do you need to be as a leader on your team? And what do you
start
need
with the owner or the CEO?
Yes. That's ideally who my client is.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It may end up being, you know, senior exec below that C-suite. But I have found that if I don't involve them, if they're not driving this, it's not going to work. So that's the first thing
is there a misconception, too, where a CEO might bring you on and go, fix everything, please? Has that ever happened?
It happens all the time.
Oh, gosh. unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, and well, it does, because I've had a few clients like that where they have said, I love everything that you're doing. I want you to come in and help my team be more effective with each other, for us to be more cohesive. I'm a big, huge Lencioni 5 behaviors practitioner.
Yeah. Huge. Love listening.
So want to take my team through all of that. And they will participate in that part. Okay, that they're there. But really where I end up hitting the bump is when we're looking at really defining role functions. Okay, so you're a CEO, and sometimes in these smaller companies that are now growing bigger, they have been playing a more operational, hands-on role, and maybe they have been or it's a family business and they've been moved up now to CEO, and they have a really tough time seeing what their real role is now. So it's getting them divorced from the day-to-day, the micromanaging, and saying, as the CEO, it's your job first and foremost to maintain culture.
Go. That's number one of my deal. It's protect culture.
You're the chief culture
officer.
Come on. Yeah. And then number two, you've got to make sure that you're playing your right role, which is probably looks a lot different than what you're used to.
And a lot of times they probably just get comfortable. Like, what's always worked? Why change it? Why change it?
Just work with my team.
Yeah.
And coach my team. And a lot of times they don't even want to have coaching. And so I will develop.
This has to be led from the top down, is what you're saying.
It has to be.
And so you won't even work with clients. I mean, is there a discovery process that you go through?
There is.
To figure that out?
There is. There definitely is. And I will be honest with you. I haven't always... this is kind of a shift I'm thinking about right now, because I haven't always been successful in getting them bought in at the top to say, not only do you have to be part of this process, but you have to be part of the self-development process as well.
You can't lead others where you haven't led yourself. And if CEOs and leaders and business owners could realize that and begin to carve out time for themselves to grow themselves, realizing that investment will trickle down and influence and impact the rest of their team. You know,
and they think they're doing it by, well, I brought this consultant in and she's going to fix my team.
Nope. Yeah.
So I'm done. Man.
So you said number one was defining and designing.
Yeah. So defining and designing the leadership roles that are needed. Right. And then getting them to be able to work together effectively. So that comes back to the five behaviors concept, where I'm teaching them how to trust each other, how to have healthy debate, commit and align, which is the big thing. Like, what are we actually here to do, right? And committed to that. So
I bet you spend a lot of time in that second
time.
Tier, just reminding everybody, here's why we're here, guys.
Exactly.
Here's the mission at hand. Here's what we're accomplishing. Do you do a lot of team building during that phase as well?
I do.
It
sort of builds, when you're building the trust pieces and you're going through this process, there's almost team building just kind of built in as a part of the process.
And have you ever seen a danger where the company will begin to latch onto you versus the CEO perhaps sometimes, just because they're probably crying out for help, like lead us or give us a leader. And then all of a sudden, you know,
here
a savior's come to help iron the wrinkles out.
Yes.
How do you handle that?
Actually, I'm going through a little bit of that right now.
Is that right?
With one of my clients. Yeah. And what I've done is I've said, listen, you have got to send this message directly back. Now, I'm happy to reinforce it, but I will not let them kind of dump that on me. Go tell them that this is what we need, right?
That's good.
But as we're building the team effectiveness, we hit upon, because when you get to the commitment and alignment step with the five behaviors, if you're not clear about what the priorities are and what we are committing to, if there's any like fuzziness there, it's going to come out during this process. And so then we can back into to getting clear and fixing that. And the team can really tell each other, well, CEO, I know you think we're clear. But I don't have a clue what we're trying to get to and how we're going to get there.
And I'll be the first to admit, listen, I mean, we grew after having two stores, Anthem Coffee stores for 6 years straight, we just grew by four additional stores. We're up to six now and adding two more.
Wow.
And as we've scaled, you know, I've continued to pound, you know, this into my team. Like, as we grow big, how do we stay small?
Yes.
Our biggest struggle right now is communication.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we're scaling at such a rapid rate. It's like, how do we keep everyone in the know?
Yeah.
Again, protecting culture. How do we make sure culture stays as we grow?
Absolutely.
Golly, it's challenging. It's challenging for sure.
So have you figured out some ways to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah, yeah. Get me. Come on. You know, we're involving the team. We're listening. And so that's where I'm getting with that thought is that it's so – how important would you say it is for the success of an organization that the CEO, the leaders, the C-suite, whoever, just go, you know what? We need to seek feedback. Or we need to allow the feedback to come through to us. I mean,
it's critical.
Mission critical. The whole company's at stake.
It's critical.
If they don't accept it, right?
I would agree. Definitely, I see a lot of, I've gone into organizations where they say, oh, yeah, we've got a mission, right? And I'm, or we got values. And I'm like, well, okay, were you involved in that process? Or how did you come? Well, no, the CEO and the board just went away on a retreat and came back, and here's our, right.
But there's a shiny little poster on the wall, right. A couple little fancy words, and taking, nobody's living it out. That's the biggest
nobody thing. Gets it because they didn't have any input into, and it's your people that know. It's your people that know the customer first and foremost, right? It's your people that are going to help you get to the goals and the strategies that you establish. So yeah, I think it's critical to build them into every process, from strategic planning to mission vision building. They have to be a part of that and be able to take that feedback that they share.
I'm sure, like me, you must be a leadership junkie. I mean, just
totally, yeah.
Growing yourself. Yeah. I mean, but because we get it, like we know that yeah. We can't lead others where we haven't first led ourselves. So mm-hmm. we have to grow us. And mm-hmm. I think there's a unfortunate disconnect. I think we unintentionally neglect ourselves as leaders and CEOs in an effort to try to serve our business as well, or, to put the business first. And then we unintentionally neglect our families and all that jazz.
Oh yeah.
How have you hacked that system? How have you figured out how to take care of you so that you can take care of the people that you get to serve?
You know, a lot of it comes from my first love, which is music.
Awesome.
And music ministry in particular. That is, no matter how tired I am, when I drive to church and I get to sing on the praise team, or I get to direct my 65 voice women's choir.
Come on.
Who are jamming, by the way.
Oh, I believe it.
That.
Where are you going to be this Easter? I'll come
right?
check it out. Come on.
NBCF,
all right,
New
on.
Beginnings Christian Fellowship.
Love it.
Love it. That is life-giving for me.
Yeah.
Also, I really, I'm excited about growing my skill set, and it's always my goal to add one new learning or one new toolkit, you know, something to my toolkit every year. So I go to one major thing, like conference or something, workshop where I'm picking up something new.
So smart.
Every year. And one, I try to do two, but at least one every year.
What are you learning currently then? What's something that's just standing out to you, blowing your mind this year?
Yeah, well, I got really excited about this. Actually, this was my spring of last year that I'm still kind of trying to incorporate, but it's called Immunity to Change. It's a couple of professors out of Harvard Business School where they have figured out this process to take leaders through, where you really expose that one thing that you keep saying you want to do better in, or you want to change, but you're not changing. So wow. It's figuring out that system, that system you've built up of immunity to that change, and sort of like tackling it head on, figuring out the assumptions that you've got going behind it, and what's making it hard for you to get past it. So I'm working on that. I'm working on developing how
stuff.
I do that. It is
because
very, it's very psychological.
You got to be very tactical on how you approach it as well.
Yes.
So it's not to offend a leader, CEO,
exactly.
Owner of the business, right?
And I'm figuring
wow.
out how to translate that, not just to how you work leader to leader, because it's all about systems. It's all about the leadership system. So how can we do that in terms of identifying our one big thing we need to change in it from a team perspective, and figuring out how we attack that so the team is better?
Right. Danny, tell us about a company or group you've worked with where you've helped a major turnaround, just help them to kind of maybe achieve something that was only a lofty goal of theirs, or something that they thought was like, oh, that sounds like it's unreachable, you know, but you've been able to come in and go, no, look, trust the process, here's the plan, and you've taken them to, you know.
That's a great, great question. Couple things. I was trying to think about the ones that are the easiest to explain, because some of what I do can be a little tentacled. But I am working, have been working, this is my second year with a health system, where I've been involved with helping their health systems learn the five behaviors to take back to their teams. 88 leaders or so involved in this. And I have been thrilled to hear, because a lot of times they didn't think, oh, we're a health system. We're dealing with life and death. We don't have time to be doing these team meetings and helping people build trust and all of this. But I have heard from my client that several of the leaders have come back to say, this has been life-changing for our organization.
Wow.
Life-changing for my department. We've got people that are sitting there, you know, with their charge nurses, figuring out what's the most important thing for them to be focused on, staying connected to the mission of the organization, right, in what they're doing and what they're practicing, and working with each other better to do it. And they didn't think it would work. But it is working, and it's working to the tune of they keep bringing me back and even do deeper practice. So we want you to, you did the 1.0 level, now develop a 2.0 for us so we can keep this going.
Powerful.
So, very powerful.
Is it, as you train leaders, are leaders, do they have a system or some kind of tool that they're able to then teach the rest of the people that are in their organization? Or is that not on them at that point? Like, I get the sense that you train leaders to train those around them. Is that how that works, kind of?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, yes, it's particularly like, so say we're talking about the five behaviors world, then we are giving them the practices and the practical ways they can go back and actually impart that on their teams.
Got you. Yeah. And then what is the, like, follow-up process for you look like? Does it look like, are you proactive in that? Or do they call you and go, hey, Denny, we got another problem kind of arising here. Can you come help? or is it something that you actually follow up and go, I've seen this implemented, and, you know, I'm watching kind of how the team's behaving now, and I'm seeing great results. How does that all flesh out?
That's an interesting and great question. They tend to leave it to me to do the follow-up. They're not knocking on my door unless something else is critically broken down. So what I try to do is build in a follow-up time period with them. Usually it's
That's
about six
huge.
Months.
Yeah.
And come back to say, how are things going? Do we need to do a refresh, you know, retread a tire somewhere?
Yes.
Whatever that looks like. So, yeah.
So wise. I love that. I think what a chance for you to add even more value to that organization, that because the last thing you want is for people to drift, you know,
Absolutely.
Or for them to go back in their old ways. And that's one thing, you know, we spend a lot of time at our company. Part of protecting culture is understanding that culture and people drift. And if they're not tethered to something, and if us as leaders aren't continually pulling them back to the dock, you know, and aligning them with the mission, vision, values, then they're going to have their own, you know, baggage or their own preconceived notions of what they think it is that we want them to actually do.
Absolutely.
Take place. And unfortunately, then our companies become confusing.
It's so true. You know? And I'll tell you another thing, if you as a CEO and others that are listening, if you don't buy in at the CEO level, the very top of the organization, to all of this that we're talking about, building the culture, making sure your teams are capable and working together well.
And if you don't like it, if you don't like what you see, you're the problem a lot of the times too. Those kind of things,
you have to be
bought into that level that, look, I'm happening to my business. That means the good things that happen and the bad things that happen.
Yes.
But I also have the power to change it and influence it and direct it and lead it well to, you know,
It's very true. And when I've had CEOs that have said the whole just go fix my team thing, right? And I have enlightened their minds to, wow, this is what it's supposed to look like. And then they realize my CEO is never going to allow me to be that. So what happens is they move on.
Yeah. Naturally.
So your leadership development could turn into the best thing they ever did to support them getting ready for that next leap if you don't get on board with it.
I like that. I hear that warning. I like that. Well, talk to us about your future. What's next for you, or what are you currently working on in the area of leadership development and helping to foster healthy companies?
Yeah, well, it comes out of kind of a lot of what we've been talking about, what I've seen as sort of the road bumps in what I've been trying to get done. And so what I'm working on right now, trying to develop, and it's really kind of in the germination stage right now, is really a focus on the CEO to be a good growth minded, growth-centric CEO. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet.
I love the sounds of all that.
Right? It's like, what are the main things you need to be doing, CEO? So it's really, my program's going to be very focused on, here's what I'm going to need for you to be thinking about. If I dare to work with you or your team, we're going to start with you. So it's going to be much about what's your role as a CEO, right? And getting clear on that.
Wow.
Are you bought into that? We're also going to be talking about like how your role is changing. Your role is changing now. We need different things from you. And the secondary thing that I keep seeing again and again is senior leadership and senior executives really having so much trouble identifying top priorities and really hunkering down to the 2 to 3 things that are most important for the organization to accomplish in the next 2-3 years. So those are the two things. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how to put a program together that addresses this is your role now, CEO, and you got to get on board at your level, and I'm going to walk you through that before I start working with your team.
You've got something there. Didn't yeah. I love what you said. You said the growth-centric or growth-centered CEO.
Oh, that has like a nice little... I like that.
That has a nice ring to it.
Okay, good.
I think you got to go that route, girl. I'm telling you right now.
That was my CEO boot camp or yeah. something like that.
No, growth-centered CEO, growth-centric CEO, something that just says, you know, I want to be a growth-centered CEO.
See, I love that you can see saying? Yourself in it, right?
Yeah.
And it feels good.
The kicker.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice job on that.
Thank you.
I think that's crucial. I think so many companies that are going to be here still tomorrow mm-hmm. are going to need to go through that type of a program and really yeah. realize like, man, there's a lot at stake here. There's
that's
a lot
right.
of people depending on me to continue to give guidance and leadership and bring the right people in and let go of the
yes.
people that might be holding us back. And
yes.
it's all about getting centered once again, right? On the mission, what's at stake.
That's the why is the it. First piece. Yeah. It's everything.
Oh, love this.
Everything.
Man. Well, I want to know just personally, I want to know yeah. what's maybe, besides the five, what was the five deal? The five highly?
Oh, the five cohesive behaviors, the five behaviors of a cohesive team, excuse me. That's
okay.
Lencioni.
That's Pat Lencioni. Stuff.
Comes out of that five dysfunctions book.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Love that stuff. Love Pat. What's maybe another author, mm-hmm. leader, someone that you're following just that I might know of?
I love Simon Sinek. Always
yeah,
have.
Huge.
I just love Simon Sinek a lot. Again, the whole immunity to change thing. So, gosh, I'm blanking. Robert Larson, and the lady's name is escaping me right now. That's what happens when you get to be 55.
I've probably heard her on podcasts as well too. But
yeah.
Denise, so you mentioned every year you kind of choose something new to grow yourself mm-hmm. in. You go to a conference, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Let's explore like a day in the life of your world.
Okay.
How are you growing yourself daily? What's the rhythm of your work world look like?
You know, I wish I was better at this. I'm going to be honest with you. I am a pusher. I push, and I have a lot of deliverables that end up back to back to back. So a lot of my days are definitely I'm building out what's next for my next deliverable. So
gotcha,
there's a lot
gotcha,
of that
gotcha.
Going on.
And so you're that means communicating with subcontractors or whatever,
mm-hmm,
checking in,
mm-hmm.
managing the projects on some clients. And
exactly.
Gotcha.
Working with my clients to ensure that we're all set. We've got agendas set and all that kind of thing. So there's a bit of that. There is not as much time right now, but as I get more subcontractors involved in my work and my delivery, I'll have more time to have a better rhythm. Because I bought this great chair to put in my office because I lease a little office space. And I brought this chair because I'm like, I'm going to read every day. And this is going to be my reading chair.
I know, and it's so idealistic, isn't it? And
have I sat in it one time and read anything?
You deserve to. You need to. Go do that. You got my permission.
So I do some reading.
That's
but I do
awesome.
Do some reading every day. Like I read something that comes up on Fast Company
yeah.
or HBR or something that, you know, gets my mind going.
Yes.
But a lot of it is really about staying ahead of what my clients need.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you were to niche down, I like that term. You used that earlier just mm-hmm. before we even got started. But if you were to niche this thing down and wake up every day and just do this one thing, what would that one thing be?
Wow. I think it would be, I really love getting organizations clear on their why. So I love mission, vision, values building
really?
With teams. I think if I could only do one thing, that would be it. Really getting them clear on if they've got something that's existing, what does that really mean in practice and for your leadership? If they don't have anything in existence or they need to revise it based on where they are in the life of the company, you know, coming in and doing that kind of work is what I really love to do. Secondarily to that is the strategic planning part that then ties to what we've developed
exactly.
for our mission, our
you
vision,
you can't even
values.
Do that second part without that
yeah.
main part. So that's cool. Oh,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, getting people clear on their why.
Yes, I heavily resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, here's a fun, interesting question.
Okay.
And it's kind of in closing. Okay. I just wanted to offer help some way, somehow. Is there any way that I can help you today with a business breakthrough or anything that might be a pain point, a friction point in your business? Can I, you know, if I can help, I will. And if I can, I'm kind of opening myself up for, I don't know what you might ask, but I just thought, man, if there's any way I can add value to you on this podcast or try to help walk through something or just even wrap on an idea.
Well, you've already helped me because you are a CEO and I was able to run past you what I'm thinking about doing that's CEO centric and you gave me feedback. So that was huge.
I love that program. I want to help you roll that out, girl.
I'll be in touch.
Let's go.
You can be my prototype.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
my
good.
Beta tester.
Awesome. Well, Deneen, thank you so much for spending time with me for sharing your story. I love your heart for developing leaders and organizations. And, you know, really, you're in the business of helping to grow people and change people for the better. So
absolutely.
Keep up the great work. You're doing work that matters.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.